At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Hey now, what do you say, little money line? On a Monday, Kevin Walsh with you here. Donnie Wrightside will be in just a moment. You know, sometimes a loose wire here and there, cutting DRS off, which I know he will not be happy about. It is a Birds Monday. It's a recap Monday of everything that we got in a jam-packed Sunday slate of NFL action. And for those still interested in what's going on college football-wise, we've got a brand new number one in the AP poll and a shakeup in the Heisman Trophy market. We have a lot to get to here. But as I look back at yesterday's slate, and I think, what is the biggest thing that happened in yesterday's window? I don't know how it isn't the New Orleans Saints putting forward a performance that if we did an AP poll in the NFL, would probably beg the question, how are they not number one in the country? Chiefs defending champs, they're 2-0, okay, probably would still get majority of first place votes. Outside of that, how would you not have the Saints at the top? And again, it's not like the Chiefs have looked better than the Saints. See, the Saints went 47-10 in week number one against the Carolina Panthers, and you would be correct to go, it's Carolina. I am in on New Orleans this year. I bet them to win the NFC South, and even I said, that was a little much. Sometimes when you go out there and hang it on a team like that, your follow-up performance can be lackluster. Your head gets a little inflated, hard to repeat week over week. And for New Orleans, they were going to Dallas. For the Cowboys' shortcomings, which are certainly more postseason-based than regular season-based, when teams come to that building, they have an ability to break out a sledgehammer. We have seen those games get out of hand and ugly, and that'll happen at points this year. The Giants will get there. The Commanders will get there. One or two playoff contenders will show up to Dallas this year, we think, and get absolutely boat raced. Well, we saw a boat race. We saw a rout. We saw a domination at the hands of the New Orleans Saints, who again just steamrolled the team in front of them. But now we can't chalk it up to being the Carolina Panthers, who are terrible. I mean, the game against the Chargers might have been worse than the game against the Saints in week number one for Carolina, right? I mean, again, if we're doing an AP poll, we're ranking 1-32. We might have to put Carolina at 33, put a little space in between. I mean, my goodness. But to hang it on Dallas the way the New Orleans Saints did, the 15 drives for Derek Carr, 15 scoring possessions for the New Orleans Saints. The early returns are the Saints are the best team in football. Now, that's hard to imagine. But the reason why I want to start here is week one Saints roll Panthers, and I think the takeaway for many was more so on the Carolina side than New Orleans. Fair. Week two Saints roll Dallas. It's Dallas. They're the star. people's takeaway would probably more be on Dallas. What's McCarthy doing? Dak interception problems. We've seen that movie before. But what about the takeaway on the Saints? Is this team for real? Dennis Allen has not presented himself as a good head coach in this league. But usually you trust Dennis Allen to have the defensive side of the football figured out. Well, now offensively, they bring in Clint Kubiak, and you hear nothing but rave reviews from folks that are breaking down the film, from the guys in the locker room, both sides of the ball. Kamara's pumped up. Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger, who's still getting the job done, all right? Who's still getting the job done is like, yeah, Clint Kubiak's got those guys ripping and roaring. I like that. I like hearing that a defensive veteran takes notice of how the offense looks and what the changes have been made. The New Orleans Saints, all of a sudden now, you look at Derek Carr and go, oh yeah, they brought this guy in to be a game changer. They brought him in to be an absolute game changer relative to a team that had lost Drew Brees, right? But he was supposed to have a case for best quarterback in that division. And early returns, is he has certainly a case for it. The New Orleans Saints have made this case and sit at 2-0 and are the new divisional favorites in the NFC South. But why this race is, or why this performance is so great, and why the NFL in 2 weeks has once again sent out the reminder that this league is not Groundhog Day, no matter how many championships the Chiefs win. Year over year, we will get wild changes. And last year, the NFC South was garbage, right? So a lot of people enter this year going, well, the NFC South is garbage. The Falcons just need to win 9 games, maybe 10. They'll run away with the division. Well, guess what? Not only are the Saints 2-0, the Bucs are 2-0, and they look like one of the best teams in the conference as well. Week number one, Commanders dump trucked on their head. Week number two in Detroit. Here's your outright upset, catching 7.5 in a postseason rematch. Baker Mayfield legitimately through 2 weeks looks like an MVP candidate. I mean, he's got round one pedigree. I'm just saying I might start clicking around just to get a position and just in case it's necessary. Because all of a sudden now Tampa Bay is putting the juice forward. And this all ties in to Monday Night Football. If the Philadelphia Eagles handle their business, easier said than done. We saw all the upsets that just took place, including what the Saints and the Bucs were able to do. If the Eagles handle their business, the Falcons will fall to 0-2. Look ahead, guess what? Next week, 0-3 potentially, as they host the Kansas City Chiefs. You have a situation where, and I believe my guy Donnie Wrightside's ready to rock and roll here, Donnie, but you have a situation where the Atlanta Falcons, people thought we're going to have a cakewalk to the division. Now, they look like they have two teams that even if Atlanta can put a correct step forward, they're going to have to battle tooth and nail early 2 week return. The Saints and the Bucs look like legit conference contenders.
When you try to look at each side, like last year, I was behind the eight ball on the Rams. I thought the Rams would sell their entire football team by week 7 or 8. Looks like this year is the year they're going to sell their entire football team by week 7 or 8. Last year, I loved the New Orleans Saints. 10-win football team, wins that division. Didn't come close to the 10 wins here, didn't win that division. And this year looked like the best team in football. And it was hard to say, right, from week number 1 where you saw the Carolina Panthers game, well, I don't really know what to anticipate. The fact that they came into Dallas and they could have scored 80 points on the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And the Dallas Cowboys, I thought, would win that football game just based on what the Cowboys always do at home. Roll teams and, oh, it's Derek Carr, it's on the road. Sooner or later, they're going to show up as the old Derek Carr and that Saints offense that we know and can laugh at here. They were so impressive these first 2 weeks on offense. I don't even know if I can still even grade them into week number 3, who is the Philadelphia Eagles at home in that dome. So we sang that you have a wipeout in the first 3 weeks. Like, what if they wipe the Eagles out? They're the NFC. Are they the best team in the NFC, if not the NFL? crazy times.
It's absolutely on the board.
Look at that K-Dub holding it down here for segment number one on Moneyline. Best hour of your day. It's underway. DRS is here. Kevin is here. Monday Night Football. Let's get you prepped for that and a lot more around the NFL. Stay tuned. SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Monday Night Football. City of Brotherly Love. Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to get to that game. We're going to cover it extensively. I got a couple good looks that I think are going to make some sense. I think the running backs have good nights here. We'll see about the quarterbacks. Are we buying low on guys like Jahan Dotson, who needs to catch like 30 yards? I got a feeling like Joe Lisi tonight, is he alting him up like 60, 70, 80 yards, Jahan Dotson? Like, where is he going this game?
You know, it's a great question. I scrolled through the menu. I saw Ray McLeod's name. And so at least he'd probably be on Ray McLeod. And just because, right? Like, I can't. But he'll have his reasoning. We know he will. I want to ask you this first with the Eagles-Falcons game.
Yeah.
The fashion in which the underdogs were not just covering but winning outright, does it even remotely impact your thought process heading into tonight's game?
No, not at all. Each game individual, entities that aren't making – the only thing you could think of, though, is right – the teams aren't playing much in the preseason. So through week number two, it's almost like, why don't we talk about, let's just say, Kevin, college football, right? We create the top 25. Hey, it comes out. Florida State was number 10 overall. They should be bottom 10 overall at this point. So I don't think we know where the odds makers know how good or bad some of these football teams actually are just yet, would be my answer. Mm-hmm.
I think that in reality, you are 100% correct. Dallas getting rolled. The Ravens will get to that, right? Mm-hmm. All these things. That will not actually impact the result tonight. Where this stuff is relevant, though, because I think sometimes people are too dismissive of it. Not that you were, right? Every game is its individual thing. But also, there are trends, right? We know this. And, you know, it would be semi-historical if you continuously see underdogs winning outright at this rate. You know, I believe the early returns, Donnie, is dogs of 6+ through the first 2 weeks of this season are perfect against the number, sitting at 8-0. Again, those other eight teams are not going to all of a sudden give the Falcons more credit or get the Eagles more focused. But historically, do we think that underdogs of 6+ are going to finish this season unbeaten? There will come a point where in the market you will be better off shifting to those favorites potentially. And there is a bit of a part of me that as I look at this game, I think to myself, because sometimes you have to play the market and play the rhythms of a betting season. And it just feels like to me where the Falcons were going to potentially be that sharp buy low side, you might be more in a different end of it where you're actually attacking a near 6-point dog head on and saying, you know what, man, the Falcons aren't that good. And I know it's 1 week of football, Donnie, but the Falcons were one of the worst ugly performers of week number one.
Yes. And maybe it's just that Pittsburgh defense is that good because they made quick work of that Broncos offense. We're going to get to that game in a second. But let me go over a couple of the games yesterday that really had the eye-opening look. And Kevin won his best bet yesterday, carrying the boys on Pro Football Today with a great pick on the Bengals to go over 20.5 points. Yeah. I watched just about the entirety of that football game. The Bengals were the better team in that football game, but the Bengals didn't win that football game, which is astounding. Tough pass interference at the end. It was the right call by a mile. Nobody should watch that play and say, oh, the Chiefs got it in the bag at this point. Only the Chiefs get that call. No, everybody gets that call. A defender just can't run over the wide receiver with a lollipop ball in the middle of the field on 4th-and-16. Stinks that it happened. Joe Burrow busted his helmet on the sideline the minute it did, and they go away looking 0-2. But let me talk about the Chiefs here. Travis Kelce got re-upped for a lot of money, and I think it's one of those contracts to say, thank you so much for what you've done. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you still have some left in the tank, and we'll go forward. It looks like he has nothing left in the tank. One catch, 5 yards. Rashee Rice looks like, he's the only weapon, and then Isaiah Pacheco breaks his leg. He'll be out, at least 2 months at this point. I look at those first two wins for the Chiefs and say, great wins here against quality AFC competition. You're 2-0, and you have the tiebreakers. But this team, Kevin, is leaking oil fast.
And this is where, not that I told you so, Donnie, but I was suggesting this to you going into yesterday's game, where the way they let Baltimore in that game was the – I really, really thought that this year that offense would be ripping and roaring. And, man, if week one wasn't evidence, how about that opening possession? Three plays inside the three-yard line, and Andy goes, you know what, man, take this field goal. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, what was that? I was walking the dog here, and I saw that fourth down come up. I'm like, oh, Chiefs are going for it. That next update, when it vibrates to my phone, will be a touchdown, or it won't vibrate, meaning that they actually didn't get the points. It vibrated. I'm like, oh, I wonder who that was. Kelce Pacheco. Field goal? What happened? What was the deal on that?
But that is, there is this very odd thing with some of these incredible play callers where they just are like not that aggressive. And Andy is, that is the case with Andy Reid. He loves punting from, you know, the opponent's side of the field. It's what he'll do. But it was one of those things that's like, man, what are we doing here if you're Kansas City? And that's kind of my thing with the Chiefs. They are 2-0, right? But last year, and you know this, Donnie, the argument that people use to bet the Chiefs all playoffs, it's Mahomes, it's Reed, it's the Chiefs. That's why they're 2-0. Not because they're great, not because of a top five defense, not because Pat Mahomes is an MVP level. Pat Mahomes should be the MVP favorite. Pat Mahomes just had basically the worst game from a gaudy numbers perspective he's ever had.
Yeah.
The only time he had fewer passing yards in a game, he got injured and left the game early. Okay?
Yep.
What they're doing is, once again, for the second year in a row, it's the Chiefs. They find a way. And give them credit. Maybe by the time it's November, it won't be that way. But they are not better year over year, and I thought they would be.
Yeah. No, it's pretty eye-opening at this point, where they could be 0-2 and maybe should be if that game played out the opening night on Thursday with that ball, you know. Isaiah Likely doesn't have his toe out of bounds. He scores. They probably get that two conversion, but they didn't. And Kansas City is 2-0. Mm-hmm. But it's no longer one of those teams you're looking at like, ooh, you know, this is going to be a runaway. I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes. They just, again, Marquise Brown coming to town was supposed to change that offense. He's gone for the year. So I don't know who they're going to bring at this point. But now it's back to, again, Rashee Rice is my guy. Worthy's still a rookie. He's trying to find his way in. You could always lean on Isaiah Pacheco. Had a very good game yesterday. Now he broke his leg. You lose a lot of that tough identity. And hey, Carson Steele is going to be a good luck with that. Or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, been trying to throw out of town for 3 years now, is now going to be your lead back if he ever comes back, when he does at this point. Tough time for the Chiefs, but they are 2-0. We'll continue to go down that process of what happened yesterday in the NFL, and certainly get to the big game tonight between the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles from Philadelphia. It's Moneyline. It's a Monday. Good place to be. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking NFL action here. What happened yesterday on a Sunday? I love this, Kevin, and I know you do as well. When I say, like, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, just a common fan, you enjoy Steelers football, you're loving life. You love really good defense. You love that they're 2-0. You're getting a little bit out of Justin Fields, but your calling card is the defense. And I look at Pittsburgh and say to myself through Mike Tomlin, Kevin, this is exactly what you're not supposed to do. And it's a tale of two teams that played the same football game yesterday. It's the Broncos going up against Pittsburgh. If you are Sean Payton, you probably should have came in that game if you're just worried about wins. Hey, look, young kid. Get a little bit over your skis in week number one. We're going to dial this back. We know Pittsburgh doesn't have a great offense. We're going to play the same game as them. I'm going to let you throw maybe 20 times in this game. We're going to repeatedly pound the rock into the middle of the line of scrimmage. You're an athletic quarterback, so you can make some plays with your feet. Let's see what happens here. But no, they let Bo Nix throw in the game plan and say, I got to find out about my future quarterback. Justin Fields is not a rookie. They do treat him like a rookie. Now, in the instances of the first 2 weeks, when you clearly have an offense that you feel can't score, they completely shut it down. But for the health of the Steelers organization, I can't stand the way they're playing football at this point, Kevin. Because for me, if I look at this team and go, yes, I have a very good defense. You know what? What happens if I put Justin Fields in a pro-style offense where he's allowed to throw the football and make plays, what we could be? What they're doing now, Kevin, they'll be over 500. Mike Tomlin will get his wish, and they'll get their ass kicked at the end of the season in the playoffs if they make it when it really matters.
So I get it. I really do. I think this year could be different. I don't know where you were at on Pittsburgh heading into this year, but I know where I was at on the AFC North. A little bit lower on Baltimore, their own two.
Mm-hmm.
Way out on Cleveland. Maybe the Jaguars are the worst team. Dougie P is going to get let go. It's actually sad to see. But Cleveland's now 1-1.
Yeah,
I was lower on Cincinnati, but I love this schedule. I thought they'd, and I bet them to win that division. And I looked at Pittsburgh as the same exact team as it's been for a while now. Maybe the best offense in football, or maybe the best defense in football, maybe the worst offense in football. But if you get a situation in Pittsburgh where Baltimore bottoms out and Cincinnati just does exactly what they're doing, which is having this nightmare everybody wishes they weren't there type of season, you can take advantage. My point is, I think they can win that division. They're not my pick as of today. I think Cincinnati is still the team I would take because the Baltimore stuff feels like it could actually be even worse somehow than the Cincinnati stuff. Like the Bengals are accustomed to starting slow, right? So I think that they can kind of just own that. My point is, Donnie, since I believe the Steelers actually can win that division, which would get them a home playoff game, in this instance, I forgive Mike Tomlin for doing everything in his power just to make sure they're 10-7 and see if that's enough to get them the divisional crown.
You're right. See, because the tough, when you say to yourself, what is the job of a head coach in the NFL? It's to win football games. Doesn't matter if you're looking down. Look, every game, every week is its own entity. I just want to stack victories, and I get it. But it just feels to me, now also, let me hear you out on this one too, because we are looking at the Steelers, who are 2-0 and in first place. What happens in the future, and that future being like next week, Russell Wilson's ready to come back? Do you say, because here's the interesting part. Yes, Justin Fields is 2-0. They're not 2-0 because Justin Fields is the quarterback. They're 2-0 because the defense is actually the Kings right now, shutting everybody down. And Justin Fields, you got to give him a little bit of credit. Don't make the mistakes. Make a couple plays with your feet. Just move the chains. Keep us in ball games. He's doing that. But it's not a recipe for doing damage in the playoffs. How do you feel about Mike Tomlin this week? Because, you know, he's going to be up there all gruff and angry. Can't even believe anybody's asking him questions about the quarterback position at this point. Where do they go from here when Russ goes, okay, the medical staff said I'm cleared. You told me I was your starting quarterback. What's up now?
Yeah, I think that that's supposed to be where Tomlin's at his best, right? Like, he'll probably, you know, fire shots off at the media. You're right. But he should be able to control the Fields Wilson situation maybe better than any coach in the league. I'll add this as well, though, because you talk about the future, Donnie. This is the tough part for Pittsburgh. What are they supposed to do when the defense is this good / TJ Watt is this good? They like, because I've agreed with you that they should just tank and they'd be better off bottoming out and winning four. You can't win four games when TJ Watt is one of the 10 best players in the league and takes over in the way that he does every week.
It's almost like a lose-lose proposition for me. You're going to win a lot of football games, means you'll never get your quarterback. But you're going to win a lot of football games, that's what your fan and owners want. You're probably going to make the playoffs, you'll be above 500. But then when you meet up against a team that's not offensively challenged, you can't compete with them. We'll talk about this more next, right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, we love to be interactive here on Moneyline. It's what we do. It's Monday. It's the best hour of your day. Chat box popping off here. A lot of guys chiming in. James Hawthorne's in here. Mammoth's in here. Jordan P is in here having some fun. If you want to say hello to the show, you go right to Sports Grid On Demand on YouTube, and you can participate and have some fun. But by the way, on Twitter, I just got this tweet 19 minutes ago as I'm fumbling around with my computer. It's from Stavros at SpartySC. Let me read it to you, Kevin. The hardest betting decision I have had to make in my life, but I chose right. Take that cash. But one day, I would love to win the $14,000. So let me bring up the screenshot that he sent me, Kevin. It was a 5-plus I should say this. It was basically 560-1 parlay. Quentin Johnston, anytime touchdown scorer, plus 390. Baker Mayfield, who pissed me off by running in a touchdown, he bet him to score an anytime touchdown at plus 850. The third leg of it, Marvin Mims, anytime touchdown scorer, 11-1. It was a $25 wager, Kevin, with the max payout, $13,940.
Yeah.
Gets Johnson, gets Mayfield, waiting on Mims, $25 bet. He cashed out at 864. Didn't let it ride, which would have been 14K if Mims hit. But he did make the right decision. But that is a wild decision to try to come down to. Me, I probably would have cashed it out as well. But I'm telling you now, when I talk about cash outs, Kevin, it's like, oh, you know what? Max win of $800. I'm going to take my $500 now and run away with it. When you have that max win of $14,000 or take under a grand, that's an even bigger decision to make. Because on $25 to make $864, that's awesome. But if you like hit the cash out button a couple minutes later, Marvin Mims gets in the end zone, that's a devastating defeat. It's devastating.
Well, yeah, I guess, listen, at the end of the day, you did an incredible job turning profit. So you can't really be angry about it. Yeah. I think my question is, how did you make the decision to cash out? Was it a lack of confidence in Marvin Mims? In which case, why was Marvin Mims in there? Again, I am Monday quarterbacking someone who had a monster awesome par. Like, I guess it's so.
Or should have just taken Quentin Johnson for two there. Didn't he score two yesterday?
Yes, he did.
That would have been over 11-1. I would have gave it to
him. Well, Donnie, yeah, go ahead. Like, Don, if he would have just done Johnson and Baker, it would have paid out over a K, I imagine. I would imagine that you know, 1-2 combination would have done. I am not asking this negatively. I am curious, though, the thought process of Marvin Mims getting in the parlay and then not having the faith in Marvin Mims to bring home the parlay. Like, if it was cashed out in the middle of the game, question retracted.
It looks like it was cashed out before the game started, it looks like, Kevin.
Yeah, see,
The interesting part is, you're right, because it wasn't as if they're all three in play at once, right? Because you had two guys in play, bang, bang, and now it's like, ooh, I wonder if Mims is in the third quarter and hasn't played yet. Like, he didn't play yet, technically. But I do like the decision because it was the correct one when it was, but you're right. The thought process is typically, it's like, all right, let me go Marvin Mims at 1 o'clock, Quentin Johnson at 1 o'clock. They both get in. And they're like, ooh, I got a plus 850 at Baker, which – might be doable or not, or like, see what I mean? Like the third leg of it coming in a separate time hour, usually that would be the leg. It's like, that's my favorite one. Because if I get to it, then I have a real decision to make on what I want to do, right? As opposed to, let me get two legs out of the way and then go for that ridiculous long shot in game number three. That's the only thing I would look do.
Yeah, like the reason that cash out isn't that big is because it's 11-1 Marvin Mims. They're like, well, this is probably not going to win, that, you know, as opposed to James Conner minus 110. So that obviously, but it's why the payout was so monstrous. That it's an interesting spot. I messed around with the, you know, yesterday was an interesting day, Donnie, where all like the picks on my card, I ultimately had a really nice day. I did a really good job with that. And then I had some fun, and that was unnecessary. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's, as long as you like stay within inside your range, right? That's all good. But I did not need to late night be like, you know what? I think I love Caleb Williams' passing yards. Now that game drove me crazy, but I didn't need to do an alt a yardage round robin on top of a round robin of touchdown scores where none of the five guys were my guys I gave out on the show, but just other guys I was considering. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
All in all, I still had a solid day, but those are just unnecessary decisions that I made.
Yeah, I had a good day yesterday. Won money overall. It's kind of funny that you win money, lose your best bet, you know, on the show, but it's like, okay, let's see how it play out. I was hoping the Kyren Williams was a big one for me yesterday because I had a nice 6-1 parlay that hit. It was only $50 to pay back a couple $100. And then I had the round robin, which was really emotion, which would have set it off awesome if I would have got a Stephon Diggs touchdown at night. Had a couple other bets that I mixed in there to try to have fun with. But I love the fact that I'm back in the mix at FanDuel because now I have dueling 365 and FanDuels, you know, between $50 and $100, you know, or $200, I believe, with Bet365. That you can have fun with and sort of press the needle down when you want to. Had a great weekend. Hopefully continues. Another couple lined up tonight, which we'll get to in a bit. But I looked at yesterday and said, you know what? It could have been a monster day, but sometimes you just take the victory because you run over the games where it's like, I really need Kyren Williams. Like, they're down 3 touchdowns. He's not going to run in a touchdown. And yet late third quarter, he ran in a touchdown, which really astounded me and got me up off the couch. Like, hell yeah, this is going to be a good day. So it was fun overall yesterday, but didn't work out. And by the way, speaking of the night game, like, we're not panicking on Chicago because the hopes for me were maybe they can win 7-8 games coming in. How's the quarterback going to do? But I love the fact that Joe just bangs on Eberflus, and maybe he's just right at this point. I know it's 2 games, and I even told you, like, I didn't think there was any chance that a rookie quarterback was going in and being Houston. But also, like, the way Houston played that game and just toyed with the Bears, going like, your offense sucks, and you didn't change anything from last week, where you had D'Amico Ryans, which I don't know if, again, going back to Andy Reid's decision on a 19-yard field goal on fourth down, analytically, it's like the most analytically friendly decision you can make. The challenge of play to Stephon Diggs on the sideline, which he absolutely clearly got the first down. They said no, but he's only got about a couple inches to go. They still kick like a 50-yard field goal. Like, my brain was broken in that game, but the only thing I could think of is D'Amico Ryans is laughing at that Bears offense and saying, it's atrocious.
So many bad decisions were made. First of all, now, D'Amico Ryans challenging the spot, right? But is he not allowed to just challenge the spot? Why does he have to say, like, I think he got the first down? Like, he can't just be like, listen, I'm telling you that ball's closer.
No, but here's what happens, though. Then you get into the semantics of he clearly can move that football up 6 inches. You know what I mean? They can't let you win that challenge, even though because it's not necessarily what the challenge is built on. Because then nobody would lose it. Kevin, you just throw the flag like, right. I think we got an extra half yard. Like, okay, let's move it 3 inches.
Yeah. So from that, fine, but also how you come out and kick the field goal, terrible. Eberflus took two. Eberflus made 2 challenges where you would think you don't lose timeouts if challenges because they were both dead in the water on arrival.
Oh my God.
Look, I'll say this. Lisi is going to victory lap this being Matt Eberflus's fault. My only pushback is that Matt Eberflus is not calling plays. Please tell me, Donnie, you have seen the clip that was resurfacing again last night of Jackson Smith and Jigba out at Super Bowl week being interviewed. Shane Waldron is the offensive coordinator who was the offensive coordinator with the Seahawks last year. He's sitting there with Chris Olave wearing a Bounty Letterman jacket doing some ads, okay?
Yes.
And they say, what can you tell us about Shane Waldron? And he basically goes, is this live? Good luck. And then is like, no, I'm kidding. He's a great guy. All of that screams, he's terrible. And the Bears have the wrong offensive coordinator in the building. And what that will result in is the full staff being cleaned out. That's what that will result in.
But we had like the conversations that we had about the Bears. And again, they look atrocious on offense, which really shouldn't be the case with Caleb Williams. But you're right. Like, the most astounding decision from start to finish in the coaching tree this year was the fact that Matt Eberflus was kept on as the Bears head coach. Because we figured it would be one of those where coaches that want to get back in or legendary coaches would say, you can take a discount from me. I just want to coach this football team. It's the best situation you can be in. Eberflus comes back. Waldron's there. They stink out loud. My goodness, what's going on? Let's get to the Monday Night Football game next. Picks? Yeah, we got
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To transition over to that Monday Night Football game and have some fun with it. But man, Kevin talking over the break, so he just brought up some real happy stuff. So Kevin, let's start off here. What were you starting to tell me here in the break? I'm going to play off.
So I was basically just bringing up the Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young, Dave Canales, and the fact that through 2 weeks they actually look way worse than they did last year. And you basically then were like, just hold on, sit right there. I got opinions to give, so I'd like to hear them.
Yep, so here's the opinion I have. And it just struck me like 30 seconds ago. Frank Wright's a damn good coach, and it ain't his fault. You have the worst quarterback in the history of the NFL plowing through owners and staffs right now. I feel vindicated right now. And I never even had that thought until you started to bring it up. And I said, hold on now, because you wanted answers in Carolina. The answer is Bryce Young stinks and it's absolutely tanking the entire franchise, which let's have some fun with this too. How did this happen? You want to say like Jamarcus Russell coming to the NFL might have been a leap and who knows, maybe he can round in the form. He was terrible and he was knocked out. But Kevin, I've never seen anything. A Heisman Trophy quarterback from Alabama can't play? Like, forget about, like, he can't play, it looks like.
I don't get it at all. This is – Bryce Young might be the best example we've ever seen of stop playing rookie quarterbacks in their rookie season. Because the only thing I can think of is they sent him out there year number one with the most garbage situation you've ever seen put around a quarterback, and it broke him somewhere along the way. Because, listen, let's make this clear. He's been awful, right? There's it's not like, oh, this is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He's been awful. But, Donnie, I look up and down the roster, and people are like, oh, man, Carolina finally with a good offseason. And you're like, hold on. Carolina, okay, brought in Deontay Johnson, who was middling in Pittsburgh. They drafted Xavier Leggett, whose highlight reels are him talking, not playing. And they're banking on Adam Thielen. They have a useless running back. Their big offensive acquisition was Jonathan Brooks, who his last play in college was ripping up his knee and everybody knew wouldn't even be healthy to start the season. They had no first-round draft choice because of the Bryce Young move. They added no offensive talent in terms of the offensive line. This is why everyone will disagree. I know I'm right. They shouldn't draft quarterback next year. You want to tell me that Bryce Young shouldn't be the quarterback next year? That's fine. You'll probably win that argument. Donnie, this is – Bryce Young is terrible. You put Shador Sanders in this offense, and Deion Sanders is going to be holding press conferences like LeVar Ball, saying they should never have my boy out there. We're requesting a trade. Carson Beck is not going to fix this situation in Carolina, Donnie.
It's so bad. Like, it's so porous. And that's why I came into that game, because I know we were joking on the set yesterday on the air. Like, hey, bounce back performance. I'm like, I have never seen Bryce Young bounce back from any performance, let alone get worse from a week where they got beat by 40 points and show up last week. Like, hey, dink and dunk, but I can't even dink and dunk. And they're so porous and depleted of talent that it's almost like, are you giving up? Because I know you said even yesterday or before, it's like, you know what? No. You keep chugging around. Number one draft pick, you trade to get some guys. They have to go quarterback again, it looks like, Kevin. Honest to God.
But Don, you know, like, let Andy Dalton start next year. You do not have the luxury of drafting quarterback in Carolina. You don't. You are not a quarterback away. That roster offensively is awful. It is so bad. It is so unbelievably bad.
Sanders, man, big offseason acquisition last year. Come on now. Where's he been?
Again, and that's where Frank Wright, like, Frank Wright goes out there. When you pay a running back and then they're not your starting running back, like, you got to be one of the silliest dudes doing it. But to your Frank Wright defense, Donnie, right? Again, I'm qualifying all of this with Bryce Young looks awful. He gets a lot of the blame. Dave Canales. People convinced themselves, what a hire. I mean, is this guy the best coach in the division? Well, through 2 weeks, Baker Mayfield has been maybe the best quarterback I've watched. And Bryce Young's gotten worse. Dave Canales might have been a garbage hire. I mean, he might be completely in over his head right now in Carolina because Bryce Young is getting worse. That is impossible to me.
Yeah, no, it's you're right. Like, they're not even having performances where the other team, like Jim Harbaugh almost ran the ball 50 times yesterday, laughing, going like, it doesn't even matter what we do. As long as we don't throw pick sixes, you can't even move the football. past you know, midfield at that point. All right, let's digress. Let's start the set.
Sorry, here. I have another
Monday
thing to say.
No, go ahead.
I know we have to do the Monday night.
Yeah.
One, credit to you on the J.K. Dobbins thing. When I saw that was your favorite touchdown scorer, I was like very surprised. But sometimes you know how to identify these things. You're like, listen, just trust me. Carolina bad. They run the ball every play. Yes. J.K. Dobbins, by the way, is like offensive player of the year through 2 weeks. Jim Harbaugh.
Ravens need him.
This guy is the best. I can't stand Harbaugh. I hated him at Michigan. He maybe is the smartest human being in football history. Goes to Michigan. He's like, they're going to fire me. Guess what? I'm going to cheat. Flips it. Buries Ohio State. National title. Deuces. Chargers. And then they're like, dude, what are you doing? Don't worry. I'm gutting this roster. Keenan Allen played one game in Chicago, injured. Mike Williams didn't even make the starting gate. Nobody cares. He's like, Herbert, what's that? Plantar fasciitis? Don't worry. You're terrible. I don't even need you. Run the ball. Run the ball. He should be coach of the year already. The guy is a genius. I don't, Donnie, they are, I cannot, and I, by the way, I back them, but he really is such an influence on a football team. They just look like a Harbaugh team. It took two games.
And it went from, like, we usually think about the Chargers, so much talent, but the head coach just isn't there. Maybe a soft football team mentally. They're instantly like, no, no, no. We are going to ground and pound. We want to fight you every game. And we now love our new identity in one offseason by cutting really good football players and saying, let's run the football. It's unbelievable to watch it play out. This team, and by the way, Steelers, Chargers next week. Good bloodbath in the air out here. Can't wait to get to that. But yes, Monday Night Football is next. Let's prep it. Let's get you ready for the rest of the day here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Kevin and Sonny. It's a Monday. It's Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bang. Tonight, Monday Night Football, Philadelphia. The Eagles and the Falcons. Line was around 6.5. That's no longer. It's 5.5. Total is around 46.5, 47.5. That's no longer. It's 45.5. It seems like it's going to be Bijan Robinson tonight versus Saquon Barkley. May the best man win. Now, I have to say this, Kevin. You see that game, and I told you right off the bat, I take nothing. I didn't even watch the game back in Sao Paulo in Brazil between the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Both these teams' defenses stink. They can't do anything. See what happened yesterday with the Packers when they got at home on where they can actually have footing? They were really good. I think the Eagles have a big bounce-back performance tonight, and everybody's so, so worried about that pass rush. I think it's going to get home tonight for Cousins, apparently, because he can't move in the pocket. But there are so many. I love games like this because A.J. Brown not in the fold. Me as an Eagles fan, don't like it so much because it's one of the best wideouts in the game. But from a betting opportunity with now other guys you can buy low on, this game is fascinating to me across the board, probably.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good spots here. The Jahan Dotson props that you mentioned off the fly, I'm going to be really interested in those. I don't think the Eagles are going to look to not throw the football in this game. Bijan was good in week number one, and he had a lot of work. So as long as this game stays in striking distance, you would expect Bijan to be better. I think I'm going to bet the Eagles in this game. The more I look at this, though, I don't know, Donnie. Like, what is home field? Again, we try and figure this out all the time. What is home field advantage worth in the NFL? Let's call it 2 points. Are the Eagles 3.5 points better than the Atlanta Falcons? Probably about there. Again, unless the Kirk Cousins stuff is going to completely correct from 1 week to the next, they got a tough situation on their hands. He's not capable of moving around in an NFL quarterback way. I'm not talking about being Lamar and Jaden Daniels. I'm talking about just bouncing around in the pocket and getting enough push off your back foot, Donnie, to deliver passes down the field.
No, and it's something to be said about that too. But also, I'm worried about, like, A.J. Brown out of that offense. Devonta Smith, we saw him. He was fine on that Monday Night Football playoff game against Tampa Bay. He is the number one wide receiver in the NFL. But now it's the other guys where the Eagles were struggling in camp to say, hey, Paris Campbell's going to be our number three. Britton Covey is going to be our number three. Get Jahan Dotson. He was invisible in game number one. So be it at that point. It was just a quirky game. You got to throw that out. Now you're anticipating that he is going to step up. And now, here's why I like the angle on that. And it's not just like, oh, that's easy. Like, you know, he's supposed, because I understand how NFL teams work, Kevin. When you have a general manager, what do? I just went out and spent a third round pick to get you a talent in here. Now my top talent is out. You're going to tell me you're not using this guy? We need to have a meeting on Tuesday morning to find out why you're not using this guy. So it's almost like you get that shoehorn play in there. Like, he's going to have five or six plays designed just for him to get him into the flow. And what are we talking about? 25 and a half, 27 and a half yards for Jahan Dotson tonight? It's crazy, crazy low. So I'm buying high on him. I also love Bijan Robinson. I don't care if the Eagles' defense is going to be healthy tonight, if the Eagles' defense is going to be playing on a surface where they can get off of their blocks, and so be it. I think Bijan has a nice night. I think Saquon, I think both of those guys, legitimate chances for a touchdown. The one thing I tell you right now, if there's no locks in sports, there's no guarantees, otherwise we wouldn't be allowed to bet sports. Saquon Barkley is going to score a touchdown tonight. You are going to pay a premium, like minus 180 prices here, which is astoundingly high. By the way, is it me or the running back props off the damn charts, Kevin? With some of these guys. Like, Breece Hall was over 200 yesterday. Kyron Williams was high, minus like 110s. David Montgomery was way up there. Saquon is. I mean, outside of like the Christian McCaffrey, who was supposed to score every week last year, I don't remember this. Is it just because quarterbacks aren't throwing touchdowns? Like, why are we so high on running backs now with these price points?
That is probably a good point, Donnie, that I hadn't considered. It's because we're not getting the passing touchdowns. So that's where these have to come from. It's also probably sports books not being as kind as they were, right?
Yeah.
I guess also these top backs are getting in, right? Derrick Henry finds his way into the end zone again. You know, Jonathan Taylor was shut out, but James Conner was into the end zone. Kyron Williams into the end zone. Breece Hall caught one yesterday, despite Braylon Allen having the other two touchdowns. So that could be a big part of it. I'm interested in Hurts, though, because last week the Eagles said, they showed Donnie, that they still want to run the tush push out from the 2 yard line and in. They could have gave Saquon a fourth touchdown, third rushing, and they were like, no, it's not what we do here. Now, I know it didn't work, but I also think that they probably practiced the tush push more than they should have this week. So I think it's going to work this week.
Yes. And you can, anybody ever played on a muddy field in high school? You can't get push off. The tush push can't work because you're anchoring in at that point to try to fight off 300 pound backers. It's no choice that they're not granted. And fumbling on the goal line doing it, not a great look here. I do think Saquon Barkley is big, but the boys will be live in studio tonight, 8:15 p.m. to carry you through this Monday night primetime game. Don't miss out. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, thanks for tuning into Moneyline. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.